Everyone, it's me, your DM. Here we are at the end of our second campaign. Well, technically it was the first campaign with it being EDDS, but season two is now finally wrapped up. The players have, well, not necessarily retired. I guess I should say player characters. The characters have not necessarily retired, but have jobs now. Full-fledged jobs. And we, well, I don't know if we will get back to those characters, but that is later to come in this episode. This episode, well, it's not really an episode. It's kind of just like an intro to the new campaign. Of course, we have another campaign coming for everybody. Been working on it for a while. Again, I'll get into it, but this is kind of just a little intro episode into the next campaign, kind of merging, ending off EDDS and going into the new campaign. First off, before we get into all that good stuff, I want to first off thank you everybody for listening. And I can't express enough how awesome it is to have a following. You guys have been great, been listening along to the stories that I write and how they end based off of the players' decisions. From the bottom of my heart, I want to thank you all. And we've done something a little special for you all. And that is, as you probably all know, that I am obviously American. And then we have my players, my buddies, they're from all over the world. So we've done something a little cool. Obviously, the player that has played Gris, that has played Cass, Merritt, as we call him, Chief Beef, whatever you may know him as, he speaks English, so his thank you will be in English, like my thank you has been. But the other two is a German and Danish. So I will cut those in right now. So from myself and now from my players and my friends, here's a thank you from them to you.
Thank you all for listening up to this point. EDDS has finished, but don't fret. We have much more to come and a new voice joining too. So hope you stick around and enjoy the rest we have to offer.
First of all, I'd like to thank everybody for listening to our season finale of EDDS and throughout the season, of course, the two seasons, of course, and hope that you listen on to with the new campaign that we have in stock.
I should have said it in Danish.
Jeg vil gerne takke alle for at have lyttet med i vores sæson af EDDS, og jeg håber, I gerne vil lytte med til vores næste kampagne.
Hello there, everyone. I just wanted to say thank you for listening to our podcast and following us into our D&D adventures. It's been an amazing journey so far. We all had a lot of fun and we hope you enjoy it as well. And make sure to stay tuned for our future content since we have tons of exciting ideas, which we can't wait to delve into. See you there. Hallo Leute, ich wollte mich bei euch allen nur ganz herzlich bedanken, dass ihr uns folgt auf dem Podcast und uns begleitet in unseren D&D-Abenteuern. Es war wirklich eine geile Reise bis hierher. Wir haben richtig viel Spaß und wir hoffen, dass ihr es auch so genießt wie wir. Und bleibt auch weiterhin in Zukunft dabei. Wir haben noch viele Ideen, die wir denken, dass richtig cool sind, die wir nicht abwarten können, weiter zu spielen. Bis dann.
With EDDS being done, the Chronicles of Avangula being left on a kind of big cliffhanger. If you guys have not listened to Chronicles of Avangula, I would highly recommend going and listening to that. That is our campaign that took place on a chain of islands that I designed in the world of The Witcher, popular video game series, book series, and Netflix series. So if you don't know what The Witcher is, first off, go play the games because they're amazing. go read the books because they're amazing, and go watch the show because that is also too amazing, in my opinion. Let's talk for a brief moment about these two campaigns. EDDS was my first campaign ever, as most of you probably know. That first time ever DM being a DM and running a game, that was in the world, which is the Elder Scrolls. That campaign took place across the plains of Tamriel. And with that coming to an end and how we kind of ended it, I don't know if we will ever go back to it. I want to, for many reasons. One being, we all love Elder Scrolls video games. We've all read lore about it. We know a lot about it. It was great fun playing in that world. And it would be great to go to other provinces. We finished off in Skyrim. If we went back and played those characters again, we would start up in Skyrim or potentially somewhere else. Maybe they're on a mission for Nessala now that she is back in royalty, ruling over Solitude with her two brothers. But we don't know, and I don't even know because I haven't written anything for it, and I don't know if I'm going to, for big reasons, which I will explain coming up. The Chronicles of Vavengula, that was a sandbox campaign. EDDS was story-driven. I think they really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. I never really knew where things were going. Shit, I never knew where things were going in EDDS, but I mean, I had some sort of outline to follow. In the Chronicles of Vavengula, the only outline I used was, here's my Witcher contracts, where they're at, here are the stores and certain NPCs I've made that are important, and that's it. Nothing else. And it was a lot of fun, and it turned out really well. If you've listened to it, the cliffhanger that was left was, well, a bad guy was created. Still very, very much to learn about the bad guy that has been created. Could be a whole race of people, but hey, you're going to have to go listen to find out. So I guess the question is, are we going back to Chronicles of Vavengula? Highly likely at some point when I need a break, maybe a break between this bigger campaign that I've designed than EDDS and the Chronicles of Vavengula. Yes, I might need a break and need to work on something different. And I kind of want to flesh that out and see where that goes. I spent a lot of time working on the map for the islands and kind of fleshing everything out. So I would like to go back to the Chronicles of Vavengula. So that being said, will we return to the Chronicles of Vavengula? Highly likely. So let's talk about what's new. And that is called the Lost City of Nekahamu. This campaign will take place in a fifth ed world, which is what now I'm gonna talk about before we get into the actual campaign. I made a world. I named it Vora. This planet, this giant planet. Take an Earth and take another Earth, squeeze them together, double size the planet of Earth, and that's Vora. The world of Vora is heavily inspired by Eberron. I love Eberron so much that I read the title cover to cover two times before I started this. So there will be things like the lightning rail, airships, and that kind of stuff that you'll see similar. But the inspiration I got for my planet was Eberron. I've made 5 continents so far. Now, when I said I've made continents, I mean I've named and given maybe a paragraph of lore to those continents, except for one, and that's the continent that we're starting in, which is Udesh. And I'll get to explaining Udesh in a little more detail here in a bit. There is 5 continents. These continents are ruled. And when I say ruled, I mean the races that inhabit them are dominant. Udesh is human dominant. So when you're in Udesh, there's primarily humans walking around. You'll be able to find any race anywhere in the world of Vora. So kind of think of that, but the 5 continents are dominated by 5 races. The Tabaxi over Yuma, Udesh are humans, Ostrith are elves, Wagora is halflings, and Diadon, which is dominated by the Dragonborn. So you have humans, elves, Dragonborn, Tabaxi, and Halflings being the biggest population of race. So you will see more of those races in every continent than the races I haven't listed. So those five races are the most popular races on Vora, is what I'm trying to get at. There's not many races I have cut out. I've left it very open. The only races I've cut out is Azamar and Tieflings. There are no gods in my world. I mean, the gods exist, but they do not interfere with my world. Vora was built by a celestial dragon. Obviously, the gods created this dragon. In the beginning of time, the gods created two dragons, Vora and Epsilon. These two cosmic beings started to create planes of existence, with each of them embodying a different concept. The final work was the creation of two universes. These universes were homes to thousands of galaxies that held multiple life forms. Their most proud creations were two planets, which they named after themselves. The newly made planets, Vora and Epsilon, were made together and practically identical to each other. These planets were the dragons' final creations, a realm that the dragons did not interfere with, and to let the inhabitants of these two planets live without the direction of themselves or the gods. The dragon Vora decided to infuse herself into the planet she created. In result, the planet Vora was intoxicated with powerful magic, but hidden away until the inhabitants of her creation would become smart enough to find it on their own. So that is kind of a very, obviously, brief description of how Vora got built, where the magic comes from. So in my world, there aren't really gods. There's no deities. There's no temples, really. Temples were made to dragons. Kind of think of gods. Like, that's what the people and the races of Vora look at dragons, with exceptions, of course. So my gods are dragons. So I'm not going to sit here and give you a list of, oh, this dragon is for this and this dragon's for that. Just listen. I don't even know yet. I am making this world as we play through it. That is the best way to do it. So with that out of the way, let's talk about the more juicy stuff, which being the new campaign, The Lost City of Nekahamu. First off, I want to say where I got my inspiration, because that's really going to set the mood for the rest of this and make a lot of sense. I am a huge fan of the Mummy series. I know, not the last Mummy with Tom Cruise in it. I'm saying the original, mainly the first two, were the best. Third's okay. But I loved the first two Mummies. I mean, they're not anything super special, but they're just that great action movie, right? That's kind of like fantasy as well. It's the perfect blend of fantasy and Western cowboy, is my best way of describing it. So my inspirations were obviously The Mummy, Tomb Raider, Indiana Jones. There's a story. This isn't a sandbox. This is story driven. I've decided to kind of keep to the story driven stuff because I like doing that a little better. That's where I got my inspiration. So Udesh, obviously, is a desert continent. Think of Africa, because that's practically what I took all my inspiration for. Udesh in particular is Africa. There's these really nice Savannah Highlands up in the north. There is a long, incredibly long, you wouldn't call it mountains, but they're rolling hills that is in a range, kind of like a mountain range. They're just rolling hills, very big rolling hills, but not pointy mountains. And then the rest of it's desert, big desert with ruins to be explored, lost pyramids to the sands of time, all this great stuff. So this is going to be a very Tomb Raider-y, mummy feeling campaign. So I hope that interests you all, because it's going to be a lot of fun, I think. I'm really excited mainly because now I get to take inspirations from mainly The Mummy. I did take stuff from like Indiana Jones and Tomb Raiders for puzzles and traps and that kind of stuff, but mainly the story and just the environment and even the era that they're playing in is practically take The Mummy and put it into fantasy Dungeons and Dragons. They live in a time of science and magic, the player characters do, and that's like where the campaign is taking place in. And so there are airships, there's lights and houses, there's lights down streets that are enchanted with the light cantrip that, you know, come on at night in big cities. Now you go to an old village out in the middle of nowhere, yeah, they probably aren't going to be very up to date on modern technology. Now you might be asking yourself, oh, well, this all fits so perfectly together. Then are they going to do anything? Are the next 8 campaigns going to be Mummy? No, the next 8 campaigns are going to be completely different from this campaign. That's why I made multiple continents. We've actually started already recording the new campaign. We've already actually got like 13 episodes. I mean, we've been playing for a while now. With that being said, we are getting deep into some good stuff. And then after this episode will be the very first episode of the campaign. And boy, is it been fun. As you heard in the thank yous, you didn't hear his voice, but our player Merritt revealed that we have a new player. That we do. We are a party of 4 now, not just 3. So you guys will hear a new voice, and there will be 4 adventurers now instead of 3. He's been great. He was friends with Witcher. Witcher brought him in, said this guy's really good. I think he'd be great for our group. And he's been great for our group. He's funny. He brings a lot to the table. It's been great having a 4th player. I've been wanting another player. I've been actually wanting 2 more players, honestly. So we could have an actual close, like typical D&D group of 5 total. But you never know what will happen in the future. So with that all being said, that's kind of a little insight on the campaign and that it's going to be in the desert environment and going to be running through ruins and traps and puzzles and all this good stuff. That's really it for me. The last thing I've done is put together a little intro that I thought it'd be kind of fun to do. Well, with any good mystery, there's got to be some folk tale about it. I hope you guys enjoy it. That's it for me. Let's get you to the little intro, a little fun folk tale story that I've putting together for you guys all. And well, without further ado, I will see you guys on the first episode of The Lost City of Nekamu. So you lot want to hear a story? I got one about a city made of gold and how a mere man was so obsessed with power that it consumed him. Come now, sit around, for I've got a story for you. Grab me an ale and get yourselves one while you're at it. Now, have any of you lot heard the story about the lost city of Nekahamu? No? Well, said to be some ancient city, lost to the sands of time, to the desert that consumes Udesh. Y'all know Udesh, right? Well, of course we do, Cap. That's one of the 5 nations. The ones the humans rule over. Very good. So, the city of Nekahamu is said not to even be a real place. A myth made up for fools to go in search of gold. Whole city is said to be made out of gold. Everything from the walls that make up the pyramids to the baths that they bathed in. Pretty fascinating, ain't it? Whole city of gold. What someone could do with all that gold. Story goes on about a civilization that built Nekahamu. What were their damn names again? Something T? Ah, that's it. Sun T. Real old human race. Supposedly, the first race to inhabit Udesh. There was one among the Sun T who became a very powerful magic user. First of their kind, actually. Starting to see a pattern here. A lot of the first to do things, wouldn't you say? With him being the only one knowing how to wield magic amongst the Sun T, he had to learn how to control it on his own. Captain, what was the guy's name? You know, the guy that was the one that could wield magic and whatnot? That? No one knows. Legends call him the Creator. That far back in time, the people of Vora believed in gods and would pray to them daily. Naturally, the Creator asked for the gods' help, but received no answer. Enraged from this, the Creator took matters into his own hands. And with his newfound hatred of these said gods, the Creator learned how to control magic. His magic. And what happened, Cap? I'm getting there. Had to give me another ale. Now, where was I? That's right. The Creator grew in strength and, due to his power, became the next ruler of Nekamu. With this newly appointed leadership, the Creator started to let the power of magic consume him, and he lost himself in it. Becoming power hungry, Creator raised an army so powerful, he started to conquer his neighboring lands until he united all of Udesh and ruled over it all. Yet that wasn't enough. He wanted to become even more powerful than the gods themselves, and conquering lands of immortals just wasn't enough. But Captain, isn't this Creator guy immortal? Yeah, but not for long, so the legend says. The Creator, filled with hatred, found a way to gain the strength he was looking for. It came with a high price. In the end, the Creator turned himself into some beast that could come back to life if it was slain. You see, what made this new form of the Creator so great was that he could not be hurt by mortal weapons any longer. Oh, no. He needed something that could strike down a god. So they say, for over 1,000 years, the newly improved Creator ruled over Udesh until one day they vanished. Just poof, disappeared into the sands of the Jakai Desert, never to be seen again. But if no mortal weapons could hurt this Creator guy, then how'd he die? Well, not too sure about that. Some say the gods are real and came down and killed the Creator themselves. Some say a huge sandstorm buried all of Udesh, and that's what did it. Well, do you believe in the story, Captain? I think I do. Us pirates live in the stories of cities made of gold and riches beyond any mortal's belief. That's part of being pirate of the skies. Then if you believe in it, Cap, what do you think happened to the Creator? You want to know what I think? Mm-hmm. I think he's still out there, just waiting to be found so he can rule over your dish once again.